Our next guest this morning is Jan Scott. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, David.
And how are you today?
Excellent.
Oh, good. Because it's a bit humid, isn't it, in the studio?
It's very sticky. Yep. Yeah.
Now, you've just retired from work, far too young to retire.
Oh, thank you, darling.
But, that's not a problem. And you're going to take up a new occupation, which is being a marriage celebrant. So what's a marriage celebrant?
Well, I was one of the first to get a license as a civil union celebrant. And I've recently been received the license for a marriage celebrant. So basically it is a civil ceremony rather than a religious ceremony. And my philosophy with the people is it's their day, and whatever they want, you should accommodate as far as you possibly can, you know, provided it's within the law and it's within the realms of decency. So I don't impose my views on people, but I do have resources that I can give them if they're stuck for what they might want for a poem or a song or something of that sort. And I always do the basic structure of the service so that it's got a beginning, a middle and an end,
which is very important. And of course you would have known that from Toastmasters.
Yes,
which
that's
is
right.
One of the rules that you learn. So there is civil union celebrants and marriage celebrants. Now, that won't be the... Will it still apply?
It used to be they were different, totally different. And I did apply 2 or 3 years ago for a marriage celebrant's license and was turned down because they said there were too many on Waiheke, or there were more than enough. However, with the law change this year where the government allowed same-sex marriage, the registrar sent me an email and said, did I want to be a marriage celebrant? And I said, yes, please. So that's how that came about.
Excellent. Hmm. So how do you qualify to become a marriage celebrant, for instance?
Well, you don't have to go through any tests or anything of that sort. You merely make an application with a couple of referees that attest to your that say that they think you'd make a good celebrant. And it's up to the registrar to decide whether or not you've got to make a declaration of whether you've had any criminal convictions and all that sort of thing. You fill out an application form. But there's no formal test to go through. There are courses that you can do through AUT and things if you wish to get an idea of how it should all work.
Right. I'd heard of those courses. I thought they were sort of part of what you had to qualify to do it.
No, they're not mandatory.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought they were. Oh, that's interesting. Mm. So providing you've got a sound background and you and Waiheke Radio wasn't against you. They didn't go, "Ooh, we're not having you."
No, well, obviously. I wasn't involved with the radio at that point when I was first licensed.
Right. So you've actually had a license for quite some time then?
I have, yes, since civil unions first came in. I think it was about 1985, was it?
Really that long ago?
95.
Yeah. It's not something I've sort of...
not that long ago. You're right, it's not that long ago. It's early, I'm just thinking it was 2005. That's more like it.
Yeah, I actually got over my addiction to wedding cake and things like that, so I've not really thought about those. So you decided this. What made you decide to do it?
I'd always been interested in... I've been asked to take a celebration of life service for a friend who'd passed, and I found that very rewarding. So it was a natural extension, I guess, to go down the track of being a celebrant for civil unions and marriages. And that's exactly how it's worked out.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah, I know someone who was asked they had been married, and they'd been officially married in Fiji. I was maintained it so they didn't have to put on a wedding for all of us. And then they had another one for their friends. And somebody I know was asked to do it. And she said she found it wonderful.
Oh, it is.
That she'd known the woman, this was her second marriage, and she'd known her since they were like 15 or 16.
Mm.
So it was a really satisfying thing. Do you have a particular structure that you stick to? Do you have certain words that you will use if they don't have their own?
I work with them as to what they would like to use. And, yes, I do have a range of options that they can choose from if they haven't done their own. But, of course, there are legal wordings in the service that have got to be in there somewhere. One of the things that I have done, and it was a civil union between Paul Ellis and Tobias Grant. Paul in those days was the Simon Cowell of the Australian Who's Got Talent panel. And they wanted the service taken by their friend Wendell Nissen, but she hadn't received her license at that stage.
Oh, right, because she often talks about being a celibate.
I think she has since, but not at that time. So I officiated, and she took most of the service. We worked in together on that. And I know there are some celebrants out there that won't do that, but I couldn't see a problem, quite honestly. No, I just did the legal bits.
Yeah, there was legal bits that you are authorized to do.
That's right.
And they need to have those. Marriage license, is there? I remember someone saying to me once that you've got to be careful where you say you're going to get married. Say if you, I mean, I don't know, I could be wrong, this could be absolute rubbish, but like if you were going to get married outside and it rained, you had problems if you shifted it to somewhere else.
Well, that's what my understanding had been, that wherever you designated on the marriage license application is where you had to get the service had to take place. But I've read in the last couple of weeks two instances where it's changed. At the last minute, they've moved the service for whatever reason or the place. And I've got to look up on that one, because it sounds as though the law may have changed to allow that. Yeah. But of course, one of the things, I don't think they've moved too far.
Mm.
But because it is supposed to be a public service, if somebody wants to turn up, they can, and therefore it's got to be notified.
Yes, it is a public. It is a public. Even if you have it in your backyard, it's still got to be. It's still a public service. The other thing that interests me is now they've got to have a marriage license. I mean, that's not been relaxed. Do you have to make sure that you get that ahead of time? I mean, do you rely on them just to give it to you on the day?
No. We sit down. I like to meet with a couple at least twice, if possible, and they'll give me the license. Probably at the last.
I could imagine just having it all. I can just see it. Everyone in their finery. Everyone all dressed in their best, and no license.
Well, that very nearly happened to me on my wedding day, because we got married at Onitangi, and the priest that was marrying us came over on CBA with the marriage license, and it was a particularly rough day. In fact, there was a tornado in Onehunga, and fortunately, they arrived with it, and we were sort of sitting there desperate that the plane could land, otherwise we'd have been in real trouble.
Oh, that would be interesting. There must be enormous amounts of stories for people who have been involved.
Mm.
I've heard of ministers going to the wrong church, or telling people to go to the wrong church and getting totally mixed up.
Yep.
So how many services, celebrations have you done?
Oh, gosh, now you've got me on the hop. I haven't done one for quite a while, because I've been full-time work, and I've been concentrating on that. So what I'm doing now is in the process of rebranding, if you like, putting together a marketing plan and business cards and stuff like that, which I hope to have together by the end of next week and get myself out there.
Right. And if somebody wanted to get hold of you now, because you can still go ahead without your marketing plan.
Absolutely.
How do they get hold of you?
The best way would be to ring my home number, which is 372-8096. And I have a voicemail if I'm not there, and I always check at the moment I come back in the door, so I wouldn't be too far away.
And, of course, Monday you don't have to get on the boat anymore.
No.
I don't know if that's that, actually. Private sort of...
I'm going to miss that. I mean, it's nearly 30 years.
30 years of commuting.
It would be 30 years in May that I've been commuting.
Wow.
So, I'm going to miss the people and the camaraderie. But,
You do get to meet. And as we both share, we both live on our own. Yep. You can go a whole weekend if you've got the flu or something's not right. You can go the whole weekend without seeing anybody.
Yeah, without and having an intelligent conversation.
Yeah. Or with yourself, it's pretty good. But so that's really interesting. So do you have any other plans of things you will do?
There's lots of things I want to get involved. I mean, I'm going to make more use of the library because I'll have more time to read.
Yeah.
And I'll do a bit of travel and stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm secretary of the rugby club, so I can devote a bit more time to that.
Excellent. Because I know someone who said that they were never so busy as when they retired, but it was things they wanted to do.
Exactly.
They didn't have to go to.
Exactly.
Mind you, your job was pretty interesting. You always seemed to have enjoyed it.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Mm. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm. But, time for a change.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And time for a change, that sort of takes me to, as you know, being part of the radio, that we're doing a fundraiser with 3 Mile Limit, which was, of course, about radio hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
This film is an adventure adaptation. It's not the documentary. It's an adaptation, so it's an adventure story.
Right. I'm looking forward to it.
Based on radio hierarchy.
Yeah.
But
when,
but
when
you
is
had
going
some
to be?
I've got it up here. Friday, 7th of March at 7:30.
Right.
And I'm going to talk about that later today when I talk to Ian McGann. But you had some connection with the people at Hauraki, didn't you?
I did indeed. I worked in the recording industry for 13 years. And when I first started, Hauraki was the boat was out off the barrier. And we used to ship singles out, or used to give the studio was in Anzac Ave, and they'd do the recording there. And then Mike Jack, who worked for us at the time, was also one of the announcers. He had his pilot's license, and he would fly out to the barrier with the new material and stuff like that. So they really blazed a trail, those guys. I mean, we used to have a visit once every couple of weeks from a fellow from the New Zealand Broadcasting Service who came up from Wellington and went through our catalogue and decided what they were going to play and what they weren't going to play. And it was amazing, the things that they weren't going to play. It was just unreal.
Oh, they were really...
incredibly conservative.
I don't think people... It's very hard to explain to people, really, the absolute difference in the government broadcasting, and then Hauraki came along. Mm. It's just like night and day. It was just, believe the change. It's just stunning. I've actually got a clip of Paddy O'Donnell, which I'll play later on before I go today. Mm. And it just didn't sound like that, the radio that we were used to. It was just stunning.
Oh, yes.
It was fast and snappy, and the ads were different.
It was so exciting.
Oh, it was. It was probably the very, very exciting time. And I think that's why the people got so so wound up with it. I mean, unfortunately, when they wanted to take the Turi out on the Sunday, it got out to the newspapers and people turned up, which really didn't help them.
We sure did.
It was so exciting. But in another way, it didn't help because it attracted the police and everybody. And of course,
they got out through the
they got out
the viaduct before.
By the time they got to Devonport, they had to be taken back again. So, but then the second time they went out very quietly.
Yes.
Actually, the second time Derek Lowe held a press conference at his house. And that got all the press there, and then they just left. I mean, he denied it at the time, but the truth was that's what they were trying to do because the transmitter was illegal, and the boat they'd just given up because they'd won the court case. Anyway, the history of that I can go on till I was saying to someone I could go until 5 o'clock. tonight. Well, thanks for coming in, Jan. So, what's that number of yours again?
3728096.
Okay, well, that's great. So, thanks for your time.